Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hi, Didi. Welcome to What's Your Next Podcast.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So excited to have you here. I was thinking about it. We met in real life at a book club, which is very fitting because you do have a book club, even though we have very different written tastes. But that time we were just kind of, before we were in this space, really gung-ho. It's been like almost 6 or 7 years, actually.
Yeah.
We lived in Jersey City, God bless, the sixth borough. And now we have moved on from other places. But tell us what you've been up to. And yeah.
Oh my gosh, so much. 6 or 7 years it's been since we first met. So I now live in the Syracuse, New York area. I have a 13-month-old daughter, so life looks really different these days, but still lots of reading going on. I am primarily a bookstagrammer and on Substack. So I've been bookstagramming for like probably 8 or 9 years at this point. Yeah. A lot of people celebrate their like bookstagram anniversary. I like literally couldn't tell you what day, like it was so long ago and like just something that I had built, like just decided to do one day. So I've been reviewing books on the internet for like almost 10 years now, which is really wild. And I've been on Substack. I moved like from a traditional newsletter that was like more like a MailChimp style over to Substack like a year and a half ago. And I've really been enjoying that space. I think it's just, I'm in my day job, I lead content marketing for a tech startup and I got my start in editorial. So long form is really my bread and butter. So I've really been having a lot of fun lately in the bookish spaces. There's no better part of the internet than the book internet.
Yes. Yes. I remember you were ready to go to 10K. Like that was like the big thing at the time before Reels, because then Reels came up and you were so good at them and you're like, and doing like the virality. I was like, oh, this is someone who to follow with that. I was like, no, I don't care about social. I think I'm happy with talking on the internet, you know?
Yeah. The golden age of Reels when like they first started and it was a lot easier to go viral with them. I will say these days I don't do quite as many. I'm starting to ramp up a little bit more, but I will say that often it's actually, I just don't dry my hair that often these days with my little one and whatnot. So I'm not as on camera as much, but yeah, man, those were the golden days of Instagram. And when you look back at it, that like 2019, 2020 era. Yeah.
And then you have this book club, which we're going to talk about it, but it's around that era. Like it was, you're reading new life fantasy. Mm-hmm. You like sci-fi and literary fiction. Mm-hmm. And we've heard if you've been on Substack, like your evolution with it and evolution, but you started this book club way back when, before we had online book clubs, book spaces. So talk to us about the Booker Prize book club.
Yeah. So the book club is called Booker of the Month, which when I first had the idea, for the book club because I read the 2019 Booker Prize long list on my own, basically like one a month. There's 13. They call it the Booker Dozen. That's the long list. It's 13. And so you just have to double up one time in order to get through all of them over the course of a year. And then you're ready for the next year's long list by the time you're done. And so I did that. I mean, I wasn't like alone. Like I had friends who also were interested in the Booker Prize and had read these books. So it wasn't like I didn't have anyone to talk to, but it was like a solo journey, this like one a month thing. And so then I was like, what if I saw if other people wanted to do it with me this next year when we get the 2020 long list? And obviously we were on lockdown. So we were looking for a lot more ways to connect virtually. And then I thought of the name Booker of the Month and I was like, well, now I have to do it. Now I have no choice. It must be done. And so that's how Booker of the Month was born. So we just wrapped up our 5th year, which is really just wild to think about. And we are starting our 6th year in August because we just got the 2025 long list as of this recording this past Tuesday. Yeah. And so I'm really excited. It's grown into such a great group. We have a really strong like group of regulars and not everybody comes every single time, but a lot of people come most of the time and it's all on Zoom, which is really great because we have people from all over the country and sometimes all over the world if the time zone differences don't stop them. But it's just been one of the best parts of my time on the bookish internet, because everybody who has become a regular is just, they're good people and they are so excited when like new friends join. It's like one of those clicks that's like easy to get into because they're like, you're here, hooray. And but also just like really smart people who love to like actually talk about the books. I know that's like kind of a meme going around about people who like join book clubs and don't read the book or don't like to talk about the book. They just like to drink wine or whatever. But we are like dog friendly, knitting friendly, Zoom friendly people who like to talk about literary fiction. And I think it's just been so great because the Booker Prize tends to long list books that are a little bit more cerebral or like slower paced or experimental. Not always, not every single book is like not hard to read, but like a more challenging read, but it certainly like a long list will include some challenging reads. And they just tend to be books that are really great for discussion and the kind of book that you, the more you talk about it, the more you get out of it. And so it has just been wonderful. And I'm really excited to go into the sixth year of Booker of the Month.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe, I remember when you started. I remember like, I remember the scene, like it happened because it was prime lockdown. We were just like, what are we doing with our lives? Looking for community. And those bookish communities were lifesavers. Like, I don't know about you, but those were like, what kept us going in the middle of the world's in crisis. And we're just now, books are actually our people and they're in the finding book people to keep us going. So I love that the community has evolved and it has continued beyond lockdown and has grown in ways that you never thought of possible, but at the same time being like having a place to come home despite all the life changes that have happened.
Yeah.
So talk to us about your reading taste, because I know like you do fantasy and I think that's another area where it's like that requires time, requires energy. Yeah. And your reading life has changed since the baby, since the 1-year-old. So obviously audiobooks are not important.
Yes.
Talk to us about that and how do you juggle these books that require more of, it's not just a quick escape of romance, and not that romance is not the literal, but you know what I mean.
Like you take a little bit more of a closer read, a little bit more like mental energy sometimes. Yeah, I mean, I think, so I have three buckets of books that I like I like to read widely. I read a little bit of everything, but I tend to gravitate towards the three buckets, which are very like emotional literary fiction, sci-fi and fantasy, mostly fantasy and a little bit of sci-fi, I would say. I just like magic. And then like nonfiction, that's like hard to categorize, like the kind of stuff that's just like interesting to know, reported. And so before Bookstagram, like I thought I was like the only person in the world who liked those things that are all so different, like primarily. And then I just found people who are so much like me, which is like another wonderful thing about the bookish internet. But yeah, so that's my general reading taste. I have this year really been trying to pay a little bit more attention to the mix because I have found in recent years that like half of my favorites for the year tend to be in the sci-fi and fantasy area, but it only tends to be like a third of the books that I'm reading because I have a lot more relationships with like literary fiction imprints. I get a lot more of those books in the mail and a lot of my friends are reading those books. So I just found that I was kind of being unintentionally pulled more towards that than like my taste necessarily wanted me to be. So I was kind of trying to like even that out, which I think I've done a good job of this year. Been more evenly split between the literary fiction and the fantasy, which has just been great. And I've also been trying to like really pick up the kinds of literary fiction that call to me the most, and if like we're a Karen being honest, Russell or something like that. And so that's that also, I think, speculative elements. Because last year I read a lot of realism element that, like, I liked or well enough. But it didn't have that much where I was like, I love this. And so I was kind of, like, that's like, insidious. That kind of thing will sneak up on you because if you're not actually actively disliking what you're reading, it can be hard to understand that something needs a little bit of an adjustment. So I feel like I've been picking good books for myself this year. Anyway, So as you mentioned, in this era of having the little one, audiobooks are like hugely important for me because I just don't have as much time to like just sit on the couch with a physical book anymore. And the time that I do have to do that is after she goes to bed and like my brain is made of potatoes.
I don't have a little one and my brain at the end of the day is, what are you doing?
Wait, still made it.
A bedtime story. I don't need you. I need no one to listen to do the thing that I will do to a child. I need you to do it for me. I need Julie Whelan to read me a story. That's what I want.
Exactly. And so it's funny that you should say that because what often allows me to get good reading in at that time is a tandem read where I'm listening to the audiobook and reading the physical book in front of me. It really just like helps my brain stay engaged better. And I also just, I love a tandem read. I've been doing it since before there was a word for it. Like when I used to tell people that I would listen along with the physical copy, they were like, what? That's crazy. And now like, now there's a word for it. People know what I mean when I say tandem reading, which is awesome. And I have always loved that because I just think that audiobook like performance and production is so good these days. And but there's, especially in literary fiction, there's a lot to be gained by seeing the words on the page. And honestly, in the beginning of a fantasy novel too, because like you've got world building to get through, right? Like
I never know those how do you say those names?
But you can't, like I usually will start, I make sure to start a fantasy novel like tandem at least.
Yeah.
And then I usually can switch to audio like only if I need to, but I got to start on the page. So I do a lot of tandem reading and then just a lot of audio in general. I've also this year been doing a lot of crocheting and knitting because this is like a little bit of a, I'll be short, but like my great grandmother passed away a couple of years ago and she used to make these really beautiful Christmas stockings with people's names on them for everyone, like 6 degrees of separation, like literally like she's my mother's grandmother and like my cousins on my dad's side, like all have these stockings. So I decided that I was going to, I've been a lifelong crocheter. So I decided that I was going to teach myself to knit so that I could take up the mantle and start making these Christmas stockings, not only for my daughter, but you know, I've got a cousin who had a baby and she has a new husband and they all need them, right? So I've been doing that a lot this year too. And that's been bringing me a lot of joy. And that pairs well, really well with audiobooks as well. So audiobooks have been saving my life. Right now I'm reading one of the actual Booker Prize nominees that just got listed this week, but it's like almost 700 pages and it doesn't actually come out in the US until the end of September. And I don't have an audiobook because it's too soon. And I just am really struggling to get through it quickly, even though I'm enjoying the book because I'm in a phase of my life where audiobooks are just so valuable to me.
Yes, audiobooks. And we both are lifelong library users. Mm-hmm. I know you're huge on the independent bookstores and breaking off with Amazon, which is if you're looking for a great Substack, I'd break up with the Kindle ecosystem. JD has a great Substack about it and all the use for independent bookstores and Libre.fm, but there's also libraries are another option. And a lot of the Amazon ecosystem has hurt libraries because exclusive content. I do have tips on how to game the Amazon system, but libraries are like such a valuable tool for people who may not be able to afford it, but they still want to access the government, especially in the US.
Yeah.
Although right now in the US, they're getting defunded, and that's a long story. Hopefully in the future, we can do, but you know, libraries are another option to do. Yeah. But yeah, if you're looking to break up with the Amazon ecosystem, I think DB is a great resource for that.
Thanks. Yeah, I use a library a lot. I mean, I try not to buy a book twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if I bought it, like the book, like I try to get the audiobook from the library, Spotify Premium, or like one of those things, like sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Yes, I understand. So let's talk about Booker Prize. Let's do 2024 because you just dropped out the long list. Yep. What were some of your standout favorites from this past year's reading?
That's a great question. So 2024, if you are like at all plugged into the literary fiction genre, like there was like very few books that dominated the conversation in a way that felt really unique, right? Mm-hmm. Everything was about James and Martyr.
Yeah.
Right. And then maybe a couple others. And so that was interesting because they also dominated a lot of the prizes. So there were some that a lot of people probably heard about and like maybe even read because they were nominated for the National Book Award or won the Pulitzer. But James was shortlisted for the Booker Prize. And I don't know anyone who's read that book who didn't think it was phenomenal. And it's like absolutely worth your time. You do not need to read Huck Finn first. I personally read the detailed Spark Notes summaries of all the chapters and then read James and got just as much out of it. So I loved that one. The book that won the Booker Prize last year was Orbital, which like also ended up on Obama's like list of favorite books. That was a lot of fun for me because it's set in space. It's not a sci-fi book, but it's like very existential and literary, but it's set in space, which was very fun. And it's also very short. I loved that one too. And then like My Friends by Hisham Mattar, also a National Book Award nominee. So that one like got a lot of press last year. The Safe Keep by Yael Vanderwooden, which like won the Women's Prize and got a lot of that one. I think actually, if you're a romance reader listening to this, you should give that one a try. It's like sapphic and like surprisingly horny for a Booker Prize book.
Yes.
Yeah. And was really good. And then what else? Headshot by Bullwinkle, which won the Pulitzer. And then one of my favorites was Held by Anne Michaels. One, you kind of have to read it twice to like really get it, but it's short. And what's interesting is that the Booker Prize has like publicly stated that they tell the judges that like, we're looking for a book that like rewards rereading. And so when you like think about it in that lens, I think it like can make for an even more interesting experience of trying to predict what they'll choose and like what will win. So those were some standouts for me. Oh, and then Playground by Richard Powers. Richard Powers wrote The Overstory, obviously, which won the Pulitzer. But I actually think that Playground was my favorite of his books yet. So
not this. And so now let's look at the long list that just came out. It's fresh out the press. We got Audition, which was mentioned at another podcast episode. Mm. Jason from Grace Reading talked about Audition. And I was like, I saw this actually on the PRH audio. And I had a friend listen to it. It was too smart for me. And he tried to explain it to me. And I was like, it sounds interesting, but I don't know if I'm going to get it.
So,
which is a short. It's a short book.
It's short. Book. Yes, it is. It's short. It's 200 pages. So it's not very long. I will say, if you like look on Goodreads, even Roxane Gay is, I don't think I know what happened, but that was really good.
Like, yes, so- that was basically, it's a great book. But I don't know. I don't know what it's.
And it's intentional. Right. Yeah. So she wrote it that way on purpose. So I just read this book last month, actually. So it was really timely. This is the only one from the new long list that I have already read. I'm halfway through another one. But is like in two parts, and basically the two parts are in conflict with one another. And so you have to decide how that can be possible. And so it's not meant to have an answer, which is going to make for an amazing book club discussion. And so Audition is our August pick. We're going to start there. So we meet on the last Monday of the month at 8:00 Eastern on Zoom. If anybody wants to join us for Audition, like truly, I don't think I can even name off the top of my head a book that is like demands to be discussed more than this book. So
it's good. I was like, I consider it. The synopsis looked good. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And there was like, it's above your head, which actually might be an interesting time. I've actually shifted. My reading has shifted, by the way. I now read mysteries. I am a whole about all the mysteries, all the murders that happen on and off page and whatnot. Agatha Christie, The Golden Age of Mysteries, and nonfiction. Actually, I've been listening to a lot of nostalgia, a lot of aughts, 90s on nonfiction. It's been like my comfort listen to That's now. Great. Like, it's I'm too cynical for love. This is what the Trump administration has done. I don't want love right now. I just want to like murder.
Yeah, I feel like people go, they're like, I need that, or I like can't do that.
No, I want to kill the husband. I don't care. I don't care that you're going to get married, have babies. We don't want babies right now. We want murder.
Oh my goodness.
So this is where I tune. I actually listened to Murder on Sex Island by Joe Firestone, which is a mystery about a Love Island contestant where they murder one of the contestants. And it seems to be great. Stephen Colbert actually did a little bit, like blurbed it. And I was like, I wish this was a reality show. I was like, me too. I wish there was,
Fascinating.
So, but let's talk about 2025 list. Yeah. Like, which ones are you like you're hopeful, or you're like, this one's interesting, or this one's will bring some good conversation, or some of your predictions now that you know?
Yeah. So, like I mentioned, Audition, I think a lot of people are really excited about that. I like to start with a book for book club that a lot of people have heard of that was probably already on your TBR, or maybe you already read it. It's a really accessible way in if you wanted to get started with us. And I tried to do the same thing in September. So we're going to read Flashlight by Susan Choi, which like was also already on my TBR. I love Susan Choi. And I feel like Trust Exercise, which won the book, Trust Exercise won the National Book Award. And people either loved it or hated it. I was one of the people who loved it. But Susan Choi, like she deserves this. Like she's written a lot of books. And until Trust Exercise broke through in like the cultural awareness, like she was kind of like a writer's writer, and now I feel like she's like finally getting like what she deserves. But I've heard nothing but good things about Flashlight, and I was planning to read that soon anyway, so I'm really excited about that one. And then the book I'm halfway through right now is called The Loneliness of Sonia and Sunny by Kiran Desai, and She won the Booker Prize before. Actually, we have two previous winners. David Salze, I think he won the Booker Prize before. He could have just been like shortlisted, but I think he did. His book Flesh is also on this year's list. But I'm reading The Loneliness of Sonia and Sunny, which is like almost 700 pages long. It is like a kind of a love story, but kind of a family saga about these two young people who were born in India and they like spend time living in the US, or I'm only halfway through, so I don't know if they end up living in the US. I can tell you, maybe they will, but their parents tried to like basically get them together in an arranged marriage. And so that like immediately turns them off to each other, but they're also kind of drawn together. So it's definitely not like a traditional love story so far. There's barely any interaction between them, and it's a lot about their families and like the lead up to this moment. But I'm really excited to see where it goes. I'm definitely enjoying it. And then, yeah, those are probably the ones I'm most excited about. There are a couple that are not published in the US yet because the Booker Prize is like based in the UK. And so that is Sea Scraper and The Rest of Our Lives, but I'm sure they'll get picked up by a publisher and get like published. Usually that happens and they end up coming out in like February-ish. And then there are a couple that come out in September, like I mentioned. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people have really liked Endling by Maria Riva. Like I mentioned, Flesh by David Salze or Salle. I cannot say his name.
That's
okay. S-E-A-L-A-Y. And Universality by Natasha Brown. I think that one has been a little bit polarizing, so that'll probably be for a good discussion. So we only have July and September set right now for book club. I like to, like I mentioned, start with ones that feel like a little bit more buzzy. And then I wait for the shortlist announcement, which happens towards the end of September. And once we know what the shortlist is, I scheduled the shortlist for the next however many months. So hopefully we picked two books in the beginning that also get shortlisted. So we have only four more left because the shortlist is usually six. But that gives us the best chance of having read the winner by the time the announcement is made in November about which book won. And then once we finish the shortlist, then we go and read the rest of the long list. So right now we have the first 2 months set, like I said, Audition and Flashlight. And then in September, once we have the shortlist, I will set the schedule for the entire rest of the year. But all of the meeting dates are already on my website. We just don't know exactly which book we're going to read yet. So,
awesome. So this episode is going to go live in a couple of weeks, so right before an audition. We'll have enough time to read Audition and maybe reread Audition twice to see if you can
read it again. I just read it, but I really feel like it needs to be read twice. Actually, someone in the book club group chat was like, I think I'm going to read part two and then part one, like as a reread. And I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah. So we'll post it. So we'll post a list. If you're a literary fiction reader, if you want to just get into this, if you want to make this a project, a reading project that has community, this is a good place to get started. So Didi, tell us where you can find you online.
Yep. So I'm Didi Reads on Instagram. So my name is spelled D-E-E-D-I. So that might trip you up. So Didi Reads, and then Substack, didireads.substack.com. And then like my website is just didireads.com, but all of that is like obviously linked in my Instagram bio if you find me there. But yeah, come hang out because I love new friends. I'm an Enneagram 2. And like back in the days when it was like not awful to talk about Harry Potter, I used to introduce myself as a Hufflepuff, but obviously.
Yeah, it's okay.
We know how that goes.
Yeah.
I'm the people person, right? I love new friends. That's why I like started a book club out of my own personal passion project. And so come find me, come hang out. It's going to be great.
Didi is a great friend. So it's like, just as someone who has known her for quite some time, she's a great person to talk to. She's a great friend. And not just that, like it's warm and caring in a sense and understands we may not have the same reading taste, but we respect each other and we support each other. And I think that's something that's valuable. So yes.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Didi, for being on the show. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider rate, review, or subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. please visit whatreadsblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.